Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Psachim Daf Yud Zayin. We left off three lines into the page on Daf Yud Zayin Amar Aleph. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored Lizuchus Urfur Shalema for Rav Kelmer Shlita Yehuda Ben Rivka Leia by a lifelong Talmud of his. And we thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So today what we're going to discuss is as follows. First, we're going to have a machlokes, or we're going to analyze a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel about the test that Chagai gave to the Kohanim who returned from Galus Bavel to build the second base of Mikdash. So he tested them in their knowledge of Tumah and Tahara. But we're going to have machlokes, Rav and Shmuel, whether they passed the test or they failed the test. And we're going to try to bring rayas in each direction. Then we're going to have two different shitos as to which liquids that we learned about yesterday that Yosef ben Yoezer had said that certain mashkin are dachan, that they're tahorim. Which liquids cannot become tame? Is it mashkabei mitbechaya or mashkabei midbechaya? Is it only the mashkin from the base hashchita, meaning water and dam? Or is it all the mashkin that would ever be on the mizbeach, meaning water and dam and oil and wine? That all of those things are tahor, and we're going to try to understand the conversation between Chagai and the Kohanim according to each of those possibilities, and we're going to bring brisos to support each of those possibilities. Rav Papa then is going to suggest that the halacha that liquids of the Beis HaMikdash do not become tameh is not a din d'rabbanan, but rather a halacha l'moshe misinai. And the Gemara is going to have two unanswered questions on Rav Papa's opinion, essentially seeming to reject Rav Papa's opinion. Then at the very end of the daf, we're going to talk about Rabbi Yehuda's shita as to whether liquids can be metame kelim on a daraisa level or on a derabbanan level. What the ability of liquids to be metame kelim is, which really relates back to a machlokas that we learned about yesterday. So let's begin three lines from the top of the page. Yud Zayin Amud Aleph at Gufa. So Gufa, going back to what we were talking about before, Rav Amar Ishtamishkani, meaning we were talking about the test that Chagai gave to the Kohanim who returned after Galus Bavel. So Rav Amar Ishtamishkani, the Kohanim failed. They said that something cannot become a Revi'i Bakodesh, and something of course can become a Revi'i Bakodesh. It can become Pasul. Ushmuel Amar Lo Ishtamishkani. And Shmuel says, no, the Kohanim passed. They made no such mistake. They were correct in their response. Rav Amar Ishtamishkani Revi'i Bakodesh Ba'i Minayu. Rav says that they made a mistake because the Shaila, the question that was asked of them, was about a Revi'i Bakodesh, and they said that there's no such thing. Va'amr le'tar, they said that it's tar, so that's an obvious mistake. Ushmol amar lo ishtabishkani, no, they were not mistaken, because the question was not about a Revi'i Bakodesh, Chamishi Bakodesh ba'aminayu. Va'amr le'tar, the question was about a Chamishi Bakodesh, and they said that he's tar, so that's really the truth, because even by Kachem Revi'i does not make a Chamishi, so there is no such thing as a Chamishi Bakodesh. So they passed the test. So Bishlam l'Rav Hainu d'chsev arba'a. According to Rav, that the Shaila was about a Revi'i Bakodesh, it makes sense. You look in the Pasuk, and the Pasuk describes transmission of Tumah that lands on Revi'i. It says Lechem, and Nazid, and then Yayin, and then Shemen or Meichel. In the last step, it's Shemen or any other food. But that's a Revi'i. El Shmuel, but according to Shmuel, Chamisha Minale, where does he add in a fifth step? How do we ever get to a Chamishi? How does he see in the Pasuk that it's talking about a Chamishi? So Miksiv, so the Gemara answers, here's where Shmuel gets it. Does the Pasuk say Vinaga Knafo, that his knaf, that his beged, touches the lechem, where that would imply that the sheretz that's in his knaf touches the lechem itself, meaning the first stage of tumah that it describes is you have a sheretz that's in the knaf begadav, that's in the corner of his beged, that touches lechem. So what does that mean? Does that mean that both the sheretz and the lechem are in the corner of his beged, but the sheretz and the lechem are touching each other, which means the afa tumah of sheretz turns the lechem into a rishon? Or no, maybe it means the sheretz is touching his beged, the beged becomes the rishon. The beged in turn touches the lechem, so it's another level that's added in between. So does the pasuk say vinaga knafo, vinaga biknafo ksiv? It says that it touches in his knaf, it touches, which implies b'mashenaga b'knafo, that it's only touching that which touched the knaf. So meaning what it's telling us is that something else touched the sheretz, that was in the knaf that made it a rishon. That rishon touched the lechem and made it a sheni. So the lechem touched the nizid and made it a shlishi. The nizid then touched the yayin and made it a revi'i. And then the question that Chagai asks, when that yayin touches either shemen or maichol, when it touches oil or food, does that become tamei? And they answered correctly, absolutely not. There's no such thing as a chamishi. So now the Gemara asks on Rav from the rest of the conversation that happened between Chagai and the Kohanim. Again, Rav said that the Kohanim were mistaken, that they said there's no such thing as a revi'i. So Toshema Vayomer, Chagai, the pasuk goes on to say that Chagai says the following, Im yiga tmei nefesh b'kaleila hayitamei, if a tmei nefesh would touch all these things, would it become tamei? Ve'anu kan v'yomer yitma. And the Kohanim said, yes, it will become tamei. So the Gemara assumes that tamei nefesh means a person who touched a mace and becomes an avatuma, like a sheretz. So Chagai was asking, if a tmei nefesh, meaning an avatuma, touches b'kaleila, in that same order that I just described, starting with the sheretz, that I just asked you about the sheretz, that the tmei mace touches the lechem, and the lechem touches the nezid, and the nezid touches the yayin, and the yayin touches the shemen or the machel. So is that shemen or machel going to become tamei? And they responded tamei, and that is correct, because in that case the shemen is tamei, it's a revi'i bakodesh. So bishlam l'shmuel midahachal o'shtabish hasunayim o'shtabish. According to Shmuel, that they're not mistaken about that, you understand very well, just like they were not mistaken about that second question, about a revi'i, a shemen that's a revi'i that's tamei, they were also not mistaken about the previous question, about a chamishi being tar. El Rav, but according to Rav, that the question about a sheret was also about a revi'i, and they messed up. Why would it be that he asks two questions about a revi'i? It just happens to be one starts off with the train starting with a sheretz, and the other starts with the train starting with a tmei meis, but they both land as a question, is there such a thing as a revi'i bakodesh? And they got one of the questions right and one of the questions wrong. Why would that be? Why would they have thought of the possibility of a revi'i bakodesh when it starts with a tmei meis, but not when it starts with a sheretz? That doesn't make sense. So Amram Nachan, Rabaravua, Bekinin, B'tumas Meis, and Bekinin, B'tumas Sheretz. Sure, it makes sense. It could be that they were more familiar with the impact of Tumah of a Tmei Meis than they were with the impact of Tumah of a Sheretz. Maybe they didn't understand that a Sheretz can start a train that will lead you to Revi'i Bakodesh, whereas they did understand that a Tmei Meis can start a transmission of Tumah that will lead to Revi'i Bakodesh. Ravina Amar, a different answer. Ravina says, no. Hasam Revi'i Hachashlishi. You're misunderstanding the second question on the Bechina. The first question, Einachnam, was about a Revi'i, and they said there's no such thing as a Revi'i, and they were wrong. The second question about the Tmei Meis was about the Shemen becoming a Shlishi, because when we say Tmei Nefesh, it doesn't mean a person who touched a Meis, it means the Meis Atzmo, it means the Meis himself, the Avi Avos HaTuma. So now follow that line down, and you'll see that the Shemen, or the Meichel at the end, is a Shlishi, it's not a Revi'i Bechlal. So that's why they were correct, because they did know that there was such a thing as a Shlishi L'Tumah. So you have to say that when we say Tamei Nefesh, it means the Tumah of a Nefesh, the Tumah of a dead body, or a Cheref Harei U'Kecholo. That's Rambam's beer of the Sugya, is that it's Cheref Harei U'Kecholo that it starts out with, because that's the only other thing that could be in Avi Avos HaTumah, if you have a metal implement that attached a dead body. So Toshima, now the Gemara challenges Shmuel. So the pasuk tells us, Vayan Chagai Vayomer, Keina Amazev Chena Goyazel Lefanainu Umashem. And the key part is the hemshech of the pasuk that the Gemara does not quote, where it says V'chein Kol Masi Yedei Mashiach Krivu Sham Tamehu, that whatever these Kohanim are going to do is going to be Tameh. So it sounds like he was not confident with the ability of these Kohanim to maintain the Tahara in the Beis Hamikdash. So Bishlam L'Rav Hanuduksiv Tameh. According to Rav, I understand why he had lacked the confidence to assume their ability to maintain Tahara. They failed the Bechina. So of course everything's going to be Tameh. El Shmuel, my tummy, but according to Shmuel, they passed the Bechina. Whatever he asked them, they got right. So why would he say everything's going to become tummy? He says, no, it's going to become a tummy. He's saying, you think Kohanim like these are going to make things tummy? Meaning like they're amazing. They would never make anything tummy. He was saying it b'lashon b'tmiha. He wasn't saying that it's actually going to be tummy. So says, that's unlikely. V'chein kol ma'asi yadeim Yosef. He uses the term v'chein. V'chein doesn't sound like a bitmiha. V'chein sounds like something that is that's absolute, that is a statement of fact, that everything that they're going to bring is tummy. So it's a real kasha and Shmuel. If they just pass the b'china, how can Chagai then exclaim, oh no, everything these Kohanim are going to do is going to be tummy? So Mazut Shavitei Meravashi, that he explains, Mitok Shakilklos Maaseya Malalei Makosav Kilu Krivu B'tumah. No, when he said that everything they're going to do is going to be tummy, it had nothing to do with tumah and tahara. What he was projecting was that they're going to do averos, and that since in the period of the Bayesheni, the Kohanim are not going to behave properly, it's going to be ki'ilu, everything is bituma. Nothing's actually going to be bituma because they actually do know tumah and tahara quite well, but it's going to be ki'ilu, everything is going to be bituma. So that's what the Achronim point out. The Rambam writes, the Medrash writes in Shmos Rabbah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a kavod for Aaron shel bishok malachei asharis, and he dressed Aaron up like the malachei asharis. Ki malach Hashem tzvakos, who the pasuk in Malachi says, we read in the Haftorah not so long ago. So Rabbi Yehuda comments in the Medrash, mikan amru kol kohen shuochu b'truma ve'enu ben Torah, enu kohen lasalavu. That any kohen that eats truma nowadays but is not a ben Torah, his behavior is not up to par, he's not going to be a kohen la asadavo. He's nimas mi gimel devarim. He's rejected from three things. Based on the pasuk in Hosea, ki atah adatam astu v'am asecha mekayin li, that there are three olives over there in the word v'am asecha. So he's nimas min akuna min amikdash min alavia. But if he was a ben Torah, then he's like a malach Hashem tzvakos. That's what the pasuk of Malachi tells us. Ki siv se kohen yishmeru das, v'tori yivakshu mipiu, ki malach Hashem tzvakos hu. But if he doesn't behave himself, then he's rejected. So the Sefer Big Day Aaron points out that what in the world is the problem? Meaning, it's not nice if a Kohen is not behaving properly. But why do we emphasize the fact that he's eating truma? If he ate truma but doesn't behave properly, then he's going to have major problems. La'asadavo. Eating truma is something that's his right, and it's a mitzvah. As long as he eats truma b'tahara, so what? He shouldn't do mitzvahs because there are other things that he doesn't do properly? So he explains it based on our sugya. Vayav chaga v'yomer keino amazev v'cheino gerezel v'fanei num Hashem v'chein kol ma'as yedem, that everything that they're going to bring is tamehu. So according to Shmuel, according to Shmuel in our sugya, that the Kohanim knew tumah and they didn't make any mistake in tumah and tahara, so what's the problem? Why is it tameh? So Marzutra said, no, their behavior is equated to tumah. So maybe that's what the Medrash means, that amei aretz, who are ma'aseim u'kukalim, who don't behave properly since they're not careful about Isurim, about other Isurim, so it's malalei makasav, as if everything they're doing is betuma, and therefore that's ki'ilu, they're eating truma betuma saguf, and eating truma betuma saguf is an avera. So it's not actual violation of tuma, but the averos are also referred to as tuma. The Rambam in the Perusha Mishnayis in Maseches Para writes that there's really no difference between a person that was never tame b'meis, or a person that was tame and then went through a tevila and hazaa shlishi Shvi'i, went through the process of becoming Tahar. And then the Ramah adds one more line. He says, not only that, maybe someone who went through the Tahar, who had become Tameh and went through the Tahar process, is on a higher level than someone who never became Tameh in the first place. So Rav Yosef Engel and Ben Poras in his Tshuvas and Chelik Beis, Simon Beis says, well, where does the Ram get that from? That a person who was never Tameh is worse off in some way, or is not on quite on the Madrega as a person who was Tameh and then went through the Tahar process? Says Rav Yosef Engel, once you understand, like our sugya says, that averos are also called tumah. That tumah is not just a halachic category of tumah and tahara, but averos are akin to tumah. There's some sort of a connection between averos and tumah. Then we understand very well, because the Gemara tells us in the end of Maseches Yuma, b'makom shavali tshuva omdim ein tzadikim gemurim yicholim lamud. So what's the Gemara telling us? That better than someone who never did an avera, tzadik gemur, is someone who did an avera and then corrected it, and then he did tshuva from the avera. So says Rav Yosef Engel, if an avera is really the same as tumah or similar to tumah, then it would make sense that the Rambam would tell us that in the world of tumah also, better than never becoming tameh is becoming tameh and then going through the tara process in after that tumah. And he says that's how we can explain what the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Para, that which is a very very strange thing, that the kohen who would burn the para Gemara, they used to be metamehim because of the tzdukim would say that that it was done b'ma'arvei shemesh, which is a strange thing, because you learn through the Mishnayos and Para, the milos, the chumras that they had to deal with the Para Aduma, to make sure that anyone who was involved in anything related to the Para Aduma had absolute tahara and didn't risk any tumah whatsoever. How could they be so makel to actually be metamehim b'yadayim? But according to the Rambam, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, I understand very well, they're actually elevating his tahara status by being metamehim and then putting him through a tahara process, and that's better than never becoming tameh at all. It's the mal of the tahara is that he should wait until Harav Shemesh, so the Kohen would be tahara legamri, and that they didn't do because they didn't want to give credit to the tzdukim. They wanted to be lahotzi miliba and shal tzdukim. So lahotzi miliba and shal tzdukim, they didn't wait until Erev. But that which they were metame the Kohen, that wasn't for the tzdukim. They wouldn't be metame the Kohen for the tzdukim. That was for us. That's because it's a higher level of tahara to be metame the Kohen. The part that was for the tzdukim is at what point in the process do we say, okay, now he's good? Do you have to wait till Harav Shemesh? Because the tzdukim would say, oh, you must. Morve Shemesh. It's got to wait till Harav Shemesh. Or do we jump the gun and say, no, even before Harav Shemesh, he's already kosher to show that we believe in Torah Shebal Peh. So that's the only part that was for the tzdukim. But to actually be metame him, that was actually for us. So that's this notion that tumah is somehow, that averos are sometimes referred to as tumah. Okay, so now the Gemara goes back to what Rav said in terms of the edus of Yosef ben Yoezer. Again, Yosef ben Yoezer had said that the mashka bein mitbechay, the some sort of liquids in the base of Mikdash are tahar. So gufa, Rav tani mashka beis mitbechaya, v'levi tani mashka bei midbechaya. Two versions of what Yosef ben Yoezer said. Did he say, like Rav says, that only Mayim and Dam, which were in the base of Shechita, in the base of Mikdash, or Mashkebei Midbechaya, that anything that went on the Mizbeach, any liquids that went on the Mizbeach were tar, and that would mean not only Mayim and Dam, but Yayin and Shemen as well. So says the Gemara, Lelevi, according to Levi, who holds that any mashka on the Mizbeach is going to be Tahar, Hanicha Yisrael like Shmuel. This makes a lot of sense if he assumes like Shmuel, the Amar Dach Nitami to Masacherim. Because Shmuel understood that when he says that these things are Tahar, it doesn't mean that they can never become Tameh, it means that they can never be Mitameh other things. Aval Tumas Atman Yeshlan, but they themselves do become Tameh, so then Mishkachsa Denagi Kula Barishon. Then I could still understand the conversation with Chagai and the Kohanim about the Tamei Nefesh. So what happened? The Tamei Nefesh touched Lechem, but it's not that it touched Lechem, which touched Nezid, which touched Yayin, which touched Shemen, because it can't transmit from Yayin to Shemen. No, the conversation must have been that the Tamei Nefesh touched Lechem or Nezid, or Yayin, or Shemen, or Kol Machel. And that's why the Kohanim said, yeah, that's going to be Tameh, because the Mashkim and the Azara do have the ability to become Tameh. But at least, have the Karav, the Amar Dachan Mamish. But if you're going to assume that, like Rav, that when Yosef ben Yoezer says that the Mashkim and the Beis HaMikdash are totally Tahar, that not only do they not have the ability to transmit Tumah, they do not even become Tameh themselves. It's Tahar Mamish. So how can you find a case where Yayin and Shemen are going to be Tameh in the Beis HaMikdash? The whole Bechina that Chagai was giving them assumed that Yayin and Shemen have the capacity to become Tameh. So you have to say that Levi is assuming like Shmuel, that when Levi says that the Mashka of the Beis Midbechaya, that even Shemen and Yayin are Tahar, it must mean that he's assuming, like Shmuel, that when Yosef ben Yoezer said Tahar, he just means not able to transmit Tumah, but they certainly can become Tameh. Ulu Shmuel, and according to Shmuel, who says that the Kohanim passed the Bechina, that the Shemen is Tahar because it's only a Chamishi, which is Tahar even Bekachim, so it sounds like had it been a Revi'i, it would have been Tameh. Well, Hani Chayisav LaKarav, that would make sense if Shmuel assumes like Rav, the Tani Mashka Beis Mit Bechaya, that the only liquids that are excluded from the possibility of Tumah are Dam and Mayim, and that therefore Dam and Mayim were not part of the Bechina that Chagai gave. Avamashke be midbechaya, but had it been Yayin and Shemen, Achrininami Metamu, they not only can become Tameh, they can even be Metameh other things, because they are no different than any other Mashke. Revi'i, Hudalavid, Chamishi, Hudalav Chamishi, Ashlishi Avid Revi'i. And that would make sense, therefore, that Yayin and Shemen cannot go to the level of Chamishi, but they can go to the level of Revi'i. And that's what the whole test was about that Chaga gave to the Kohanim. And so that makes a lot of sense. Ela is Savarle. But if you're going to say that Shmuel holds Kilevi, Ditali Mashke Be Midbechaya, like Levi's version of Yosef Ben Yuazer, that even Yayin and Shemen are excluded from Tumah, might you Revi'i the level of Chamishi? Why would the Bechina only be about whether these liquids can become a Chamishi? He could have asked better. Afil Sheni, Shlishi, Nami Lo Avdi. Yayin, that's one of the Mashke Be Midbechaya, doesn't even make a Sheni or Shlishi, according to Levi, because the Mashke Be Midbechaya are not Metame. So Al Karcha Karav Sirle. So you have to say that Shmuel is assuming, like Rav, that the Edus of Yosef Ben Yoazer was only on the Mashke Be Midbechaya, but the Mashke Be Midbechaya is Metame other things, and therefore, if the Yayin was a Shlishi, it would turn the Shemen into a Revi'i. The Shemen that it touches would become a Revi'i. And that's why Shmuel had to say that Chagai asked about Yayin that was a Revi'i, and the Kohanim respond that it does not have the capacity to make Shemen a Chamishi. Tanya Kavaseid Rav, Tanya Kavaseid Levi. We have a Brisa that supports each version of what Yosef Ben Yoazer said. Again, either Rav or Levi, did Yosef Ben Yoazer, was he Metar only the Mashkebe Mitbechaya or the Mashkebe Midbechaya? So Tanya Kavaseid De Levi, the Brisa that supports Levi, says as follows. It said that in the Mashkebe Midbechaya are Tahorim, it says, Hadam Vehashemen Vehamayim, Hadam Vehayayin Vehashemen Vehamayim. It includes both Yayin and Shemen on the list because these are things that are all brought in the Mizbeach. Mashki be midbechaya, mashkim that are brought in the Mizbeach, that Yosef Ben Yoazer said are tar, shenitmu bifnim. Let's say they were to become tummy in the, they were to contact Tuma in the Avodah Zarah, Votziyan Luchutz. Then you bring them outside of the Azara. Meaning Yosef Ben Yoazer didn't say these liquids can't become tummy at all. He said when they're in the Beis HaMikdash, they don't become tummy. So what if they become tummy in the Beis HaMikdash and then they move outside of the Beis HaMikdash? So now what's going to be their halacha? So Tahorim, they're still Tahor, because at the time of the contact with the Tumah couldn't be Chal, they were in the Beis HaMikdash. But if it was the opposite, Nitmu B'chutz, if they became Tameh outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and then Vichnisim B'fnim, Tamein, and then you brought them inside of the Beis HaMikdash, then they're still going to become Tameh. There's not like this automatic Tahara that lands on them as soon as they come into the Beis HaMikdash. They were Tameh previously, they're going to remain Tameh. But the bottom line is, the Bryce is going through that detail of when it goes from the inside to the outside to the inside. But look at what the Bryce is talking about. It's talking about four liquids, not just Mayim and Dam, Shemen and Yayin also. And it assumes that they're all in the same category, that they all have this special halacha of Mashka being Tor in the Mikdash. So you see, that's a Raya. That Bryce says that it's Mashka Bey Midbechaya. And then says the Gemara, but really, Aini, is that really true? The detailed halacha that we just said about them, that that if they came into contact with something tamei while in the Azara, that even after they leave the Azara, they remain tahar. Is that detail really true? V'amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi, Mashke be midbechaya, lo amru dachan ela b'makoman. But didn't Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi tell us that this din, that their tahar, is only true while they're in place, while they're actually in the Azara? My love, l'mutei nitmu b'vim v'otzi in l'chutz. Isn't that telling me that as soon as they leave the Azara, if they came in contact with something tamei in the Azara, so they're not tamei because they're in the Azara, but as soon as they come out, isn't it telling me that they do become tamei? Against what this price has said, isn't that what Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi is telling me? So says, "Well, no, that's not what Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi means. He means l'mutei nitmu b'chutz v'chnisim b'fnim. He's telling me that if they became tamei on the outside and then they came inside, that they retained that tumah. Exactly what the price just told me. So this the detailed halacha about going from the inside to the outside or the outside to the inside, it's actually correct. The price was 100% correct about that halacha. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi never argued on that halacha. So ask the Gemara, but wait a second, how could that be where Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi means that if they became tamei on the outside, they remain tamei when they're brought in the Azara? V'habim koman ka'amar. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi said that the idea of mashke midbechaya being tahar is only bimakomam. It sounds like only while they're still inside their tahar and not after they leave. So achi ka'amar. No, what Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi meant to say is lam rudachan ela shenitmu bimakomam. What he meant to say is not as long as they stay in the Azara, that they're only tahar if they become tame in the azara, if they come in contact with the tumah in the azara. What's the Hadi said they're only tame as long as they stay in the azara. That would imply that when you bring them out, now the tumah is going to be chal on them. That a sheretz touched them while they were in the azara, nothing happens to them. Then you bring them out, and now the tumah is chal automatically. But no, that's not what he said. What he said is they're tahar when nitmu b'mekoman, when they're always going to become tahar if the point of contact with tumah was in the azara. Nothing's going to change when you bring them outside of the azara. Exactly what the brisa had told us. But again, all of that is a side point. Meaning the point of the brisa for our purposes was just to tell us that it's mashkebei mid b'chaya, that included in the liquids that are part of this halacha is not only dam and mayim but also yayin and shemen as well. We just happened to have a side discussion about the detailed halacha in that brisa of what happens if someone becomes tamei and then is then brought in the azara, then is brought outside, or vice versa. Tanya kavase d'rav, and we have another brisa that says like Rav that it's only the mashkebei mit b'chaya, that it's only the dam and the mayim and not yayin and shemen that are tahar, because the brisa tells us hadam v'hamayim, only dam and mayim mashkebeis mit b'chaya shenitmu bein b'kelim bein b'karka taharin, that become tamei whether they are in kelim or whether they are in the karka, they are going to be tahar. Rabbi Shimon Omer, and Rabbi Shimon says that that when the mashkebeis mit b'chayim are b'kelim, then they are tamein, because tumas mashkim is min haTorah, and the chum do not have the ability to be mitayher mashkim that are in kelim, because they are tamei on a d'oraisa level. But b'karka tahorin, but if there are those mashkim are mechuber l'karka, then their tumas status to begin with would only be midrabanan when they're mechuber l'karka. So the rabbanan were not gozer that tumas status when they're in the azara, in order to minimize the tumah impact on kachim. So you see from the Tanakama that the mashke base mit b'chaya is tahar. I mean, again, Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the whole thing. He says that there's no automatic rule that any mashke base mit b'chaya is tahar. That's only when it's b'karka. It's not when it's b'kelim. But the Tanakama holds that all the mashke base mit b'chaya is tahar. Dafka identified mashkebeis mit b'chaya and not mid b'chaya. Dafka the dam and the mayim, not the yayin and the shemen. So we have a rice that supports each shita as far as what the tradition of Yosef ben Yehuda was in terms of what is tahar. So now says the Gemara, up until this point, we assumed that the reason these mashkim are tahar is because anyway tumas mashkin is only drabanan. So even outside of this, the whole tumas status of mashkin is only drabanan. So if you're going to assume that the whole tumas status is only drabanan to begin with, okay, so in the Beis HaMikdash, they were not gozer that din midrabanan. Now the Gemara is going to tell us Rav Papa had an entirely different view of why it is that these items are tahar. So I'm Rav Papa, afilu mandiyam tumas mashkin daraisa. Even if you assume like the Shita that tumas mashkin is daraisa, that mashkin outside of the Mikdash can become tami midaraisa, still it could be Torah in the Beis HaMikdash. How could that be? The Rabbanan are just going to do away with the Din D'Oraisa? Mashki Beis Mitbechaya? Hilchsa Gemiri La. There's a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai that tells us, which is also on a D'Oraisa level. None of this is the Rabbanan. The Tumah of Mashkin outside of the Mikdash is D'Oraisa, and the Tahara of the Mashkin in the Azara is a D'Oraisa based on a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. There's no Pasuk for it, but that's the Torah Shebal Peh, that it's a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Right? That's what the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnah describes, that there's such a thing as Torah Shebichsav and such a thing as Torah Shebal Peh, and he tells us that the Torah Shebal Peh has several categories. You have Torah Shebal Peh includes Perush Mamukubalim Moshe Misinai and Alachal Moshe Misinai and Gezeros Drabanan and Takanos Drabanan. Gezeros and Takanos are Drabanan, but Perush Mamukubalim and Alachal Moshe Misinai are Daoraisa. It's not quite the level of Daoraisa as something that's in the Pasuk, but it's a Daoraisa. So this is all Dinim Daoraisa, says Rav Papa. So Amle Rafun Braid Rav Nassan Rav Papa, Rafun Braid Rav Nassan challenges Rav Papa. That which Rav Lazar says in the brisa that we said on yesterday's daf and daf tezayin, that ain't tumah l'mashkin kol ikar, and that I could prove to you that there's no tumas mashkin min haTorah. And what's his proof? Teda shareheid Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda v'shreid al mashkin beis min v'chay dachan. And his proof was because if there was tumah on the daraisa level for mashkin, then how come all of a sudden in the Beis HaMikdash it becomes tahar? The very fact that there's that these mashkin are not tamei in the Beis HaMikdash is a raya that they must never really be tamei on a daraisa level anywhere. But if you could just say that it's halacha l'moshe misinai, then you have no proof. Meaning, it could be that it's a din daraisa that mashkin become tamei outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And they could still be Torah in the Beis HaMikdash, because Halacha L'Moshe Mizinai. So it must be that Rav Papa is incorrect, because otherwise the whole proof doesn't make sense. His whole raya is, from the fact that they're Torah inside the Beis HaMikdash, tells me that they must be Tameh outside, it tells me that they must really be Torah on a Daraisa level, even when they're outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That the whole din of Tumah for Mashkin is only a Tumah Midrabanan. So it must be that there does not exist such a Halacha L'Moshe Mizinai. This is, you add this to the list of the questions on the Rambam in the Pirushim Mishnayis. The Rambam, the Akhtamah to the Pirushim Mishnayis, says that when you notice that there's a lot of machlokas in Judaism, that every halacha in all of Shas, it seems that there's a machlokas on everything, so one might lose confidence in the accuracy of the transmission of the Torah Shebal Peh, in the integrity of the Torah Shebal Peh. So the Rambam says, no, it's not a lack of integrity in Torah Shebal Peh, it's that Eil Veil Devar Elokim Chayim, there are different ways and different perspectives of looking at things, and they're all within Torah, they're all valid, and the raya that there's no weakness in our transmission is Halacha L'Moshe Mizinai, because you will never ever find a machlokas, says the Rambam, about Halacha L'Moshe Mizinai. You go through all the Shas, there's never a machlokas about Halacha L'Moshe Mizinai. So that's the raya that we've been transmitting it faithfully throughout. That there are certain core parts of Torah Shebal Peh that have been transmitted perfectly faithfully, and that should give us confidence in the whole system of Torah Shebal Peh. So the Chaviz Yair has a tshuva. He says, really? There's never a machlokas in Halacha L'Moshe Mizinai? And he gives a list. You know, the most famous example is Chatzi Nezek Tzroros. There's machlokas whether it's Hilchos Gemirah or not. So you have machlokas all over the place. So here you could add this to the list. I don't remember if the Chavis Yair actually has this one in his tshuva, but he could. That here you have a machlokas. Rav Papa thought that there is a Halacha L'Moshe Mizinai, the Mashka Beis Mitbechaya is Tahar, and the other Amoraim thought that it's not a Moshe Mizinai, it's just a Dint Rabbanan. So I'm like Ravina Ravashi. So Ravina says Ravashi as follows, another kasha on Rav Papa, another challenge to Rav Papa. Rabbi Shimon, Damar Tumas Mashkin Daraisa. Rabbi Shimon holds that Tumas Mashkin is Daraisa. Ditanya Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Lekelim Tahorim, La Ochlin Tamein. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon said that when there's a suffix in a Mashka, whether it was Metame something else or not. So if the suffix was whether it was Metame Kalim, then we could say Tahor, because on a Daraisa level, Mashka do not have the ability to be metame kelim, but la ochlin tamein. If you have a suffik whether the tamei mashke touched food, you have to paskin tamei because the ability for mashke to be metame ochlin is daraisa. So you see very clearly they hold that mashke can be tamei on a daraisa level because they hold that it can even be metame ochlin on a daraisa level. So hachu kam Rabbi Shimon, and over here because of that, Rabbi Shimon says over here l'shitaso that mashke beis mitbechaya became Kalim Tamein. If it's in Kalim, they're Tamei because the Tumah is Minatorah and the Chum do not have the ability to be Matara, that which is Minatorah. But Bekarka Torah, and if the Mashka is still in the Karka, so when it's Mechubar LeKarka, it's going to be Tahor on a Daraisa level, the whole Tumah is only going to be Midrabanan, and therefore Ba'azara, we're going to be Mekel and say that it's not Tamei at all. But Vi Hilchasihi, but if there's a Halacha L'Moshe Mizinai, that even that which is normally Tamei on a Daraisa level, when it's in the Azara, it's totally Tahor. If there's really such a Halacha L'Moshe Mizinai, Mali B'Kelim, Mali B'Karka. So then even Mashke in Kelim in the Azara should be Tahar. Meaning the whole reason Rabbi Shimon said that there's a difference between Kelim and Karka is because if the Mashke is in Kelim, we're dealing with Tumah Daraisa, and there's nothing we can do about that. We can't change a Daraisa. But if it's B'Karka, it's only Tumah Rabbanan to begin with. Okay, so in the Azara, the Rabbanan had the ability to say Tahar. But if you're going to say that there's Halacha L'Moshe Mizinai, we can change the Daraisa. The Halacha L'Moshe Mizinai upends the Daraisa as soon as you bring it into the Azara. So Kasha, so that's Taka, a difficulty on Rav Papa to suggest that there is such a Halacha L'Moshe Mizinai in this context. So now, the Gemara goes back to explain Rabbi Shimon in the Braisa that Mashka Beis Mitbechaya in Karka is Tahor. So Amar Rav Papa, Hadamar Bekarka Torin Loshonu Elamayim. This idea that a Mashka that's Mechubar LeKarka is Tahor is not about all the Mashkim. It's only about Mayim. It's not about Dam. That there is such a concept that Mayim in the ground is Tahor. How do I know? There's a din of a mikveh and a Mayan. Mayim in the ground is not only Tahor, it has the ability to be Matar other things. So Mayim in the ground is going to be Tahor. Aval Dam lo, but there's no such din about Dam in the ground. The Dam cannot be a mikveh. V'mayim nami lo amaran, ela dahavi revius. And even Mayim that's in the ground that's Tahor is only if it's a revius of Mayim. It has to be a revius aluk of Mayim, dechazi lahatbil bei machtin v'tzinoros, because then it's enough water to actually be matbil very, very tiny. tiny kalim in it, which minatara would have been good enough. So the Chum say, okay, we're going to stick with the dindal raisa in the azara. Meaning, even though outside of the azara, small amounts of water, less than 40 sa of water, is not a kashra mikvah, and therefore can become tame on a derabbanan level, but midal raisa, as soon as it's enough water to be matbil a needle, to be matbil the tiniest kalim, that's already a mikvah. So in the azara, we're going to say, good, we're keeping it that way. But if it's less than revius, then even minatora, that's not roi for tvilas kalim, it's not a mikvah at all, and therefore tamei, and it's absolutely going to be tamei. So now the Gemara goes back to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that we said about the ability of tumas mashkin to be metamei other things. So Amar Mar, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda said, if you have a suffek where the mashkin tameim touched something else, lakol tamei, it's tamei no matter what, whether it's a suffek if it touched food, or whether you have a suffek whether it touched kalim, the food, the kalim are tamei. So you see that if you didn't have a suffek, that if mashkim definitely touches kalim, so it's metamei minatora, and that's why if you have a suffek, we have to pass on l'chumra, because it's suffek dal raisa l'chumra, meaning we have a din that suffek tuma bereshus yachid is tamei when you're dealing with a tumah d'oraisa. So by the virtue of the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says, if I have a suffek, whether a mashka tame touched food, or a mashka tame touched kalim, I need to be machmir in both of those cases, that means he's telling you when it's vadai that it touched it, it's tame mi d'oraisa. So the name of the suffek Rabbi Yehuda, tumas mashka, the tame tumas kalim d'oraisa, is that true? Rabbi Yehuda holds mashkin's capacity to be metame kalim is on a d'oraisa level? Vatanya, but we have a braisa, kala kalim sheishlem achorayim v'toch. If you have a that could be used inside and outside. You have a bag and you could turn it inside out. So kugon hakarim, vaksasos vasakim varmut sofin, pillowcases and sacks and things like that. So nitma tocho, if the inside of it becomes tame, nitma gabo, automatically the outside becomes tame as well. You can't be matame the inside without being matame the outside. But nitma gabo, if tuma touched only the outside, lo nitma tocho, the inside remains tahar. So amrabiuta bemed varm amurim, shenitmu machmas mashkin. So Rabbi says that's only if the way it contracted the tumah was by touching a mashka that's a rishon the tumah, because tumas kalim that touch a mashka is only tumah midrabanan, because minatorah a kli can only become tame from an avatumah. So since the ability of a mashka to be mitame a kli is only midrabanan in the first place, the chum were mekil that it's not going to be mitame the inside of the kli as well, in order that to make it recognizable that this whole tumah is only a tumah midrabanan. Rabbanan, and they needed to be clear that it's only a tumah midrabanan, because there are enough kaminas about burning kachim and truma that touch it, because you can't burn things if it's only a tumah on a drabanan level. So aval nitmu machma sheretz. But if they became tummy from an actual lava tumah, nitma tocho, nitma gabo, nitma gabo, nitma tocho, then it doesn't make a difference where the tumah touched, the whole kli becomes tummy. There's no chilik between gabo and tocho on these types of kelim, except for a kli charis. There's no chilik between gabo and tocho when it comes to even by a kli charis, once it becomes tame, the whole thing becomes tame. There's no chiluk between gabo and tocho by a tuma on a daraisa level. But v'yisal kadag tumas mashka l'tami kelim daraisa. But if you say that mashka can even be metami kelim on a daraisa level, mali nitma machmas mashkin, mali nitma machmas sheretz. What difference does it make whether it was nitma based on from a mashka or if it was nitma from a sheretz? In both of those cases, it's tame minatora. So if it's nitma gabo, which means nitma tocho. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, chazubar Rabbi Yehuda. You're right. Rabbi Yehuda must have changed his mind from what he said in the first braisa, that if you have a suffik where the kelim became tame al yidei mashkim, that you assume it's suffik daraisa l'chumra, suffik tuma daraisa l'chumra, and you're metami it. No, he changed his mind. He holds that they're tahar because mashka cannot be metame kelim mina Torah. It can only be metame kelim midrabanan. Ravina Amar Leolam Lo Hadar. No, he didn't change his mind. Habe mashkan rabban machmas yadayim. The difference is simple. The question is, the difference between the two statements of Rabbi Yehuda is the mashkin. We just said mashkin tamei touches kalim. So can mashkin be metamei kalim? And the answer is, if the mashka were tame on a daraisa level itself, then it could be metame kelim. But if the mashka itself was only tame on a darabana level, so then on a daraisa level, it's not metame kelim, obviously. So you have to go back to where the mashka source of tumah was. If the mashka source of tumah was a sheret, good, that's tumah daraisa, it could be metame kelim. But if the mashka source of tumah was yadayim midrabanan are shnios l'tumah on a darabana level, and the halacha is if they touch a mashka midrabanan, the mashka becomes a rishon, goes back
backward, it goes up a step, it becomes a Rishon. That's all the Rabbanan. So then, yeah, that Mashka's ability to be Matame Kelim is only going to be Midrabbanan. Iyachi says, Maratani Bavedma Mumum Shenitmu Machmas Mashkin, Lufuk Vusum Mididay. So wait a second, why then do we have to make a chilik between when Kelim were Tame Machmas Mashka versus when Kelim were Tame Machmas Sheretz? You can make a chilik within Mashka itself. That Bamed Varma Murum, when do I assume that if Nitma Gabal Lo Nitma Tocha, then only the outside of the kli becomes tummy, not the inside, because the whole thing is only tummy drabanan. I should have said b'mashkan b'al machmas yadayim. That's only when the mashka was only tummy on a drabanan level. Al mashkan b'al machmas sheretz. But if the mashka was tummy daraisa, nitma tocha, nitma gabu, nitma gabu, nitma tocha, the whole thing becomes tummy. So from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda didn't make such a chiluk, you see that even mashka that's nitma misheretz is not metame kele min haTorah. Ela mechavart k'tishin meyakara chazu bo Rabbi Yehuda. What you have to say is, like we said, the original answer, that Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind from the original Braisa, and really Rabbi Yehuda holds that Tumas Mashkin's ability to be Metame Kelim is only Midrabanan. Even if it was Tame Min HaSheretz, it does not have the ability to be Metame Kelim Min HaTorah. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Ibayilahu.